This is Jerry Bain at the Southeast Regional Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here with Bob Fox, and would you like to introduce yourself, Bob?
Sure. I'm Associate Director for Public Services and Library Administration at the Georgia Tech Libraries.
I'd like to ask you, first of all, what are some of the ways we see design changing for learning spaces as we see students change and their habits change?
Sure. My experience is primarily working with students. We've completely renovated two of our spaces in the library, and we have a third renovation project ongoing right now. With each of them, we've refined our user engagement process to really get a lot of experience, knowledge before we start the project. And then, of course, assessment afterwards. What we're seeing and hearing from the students now is that, of course, the library is not just a temple of books and a few individual study carrels. When we engage the students, they're saying, if you want us to come and work in the library, you have to make a place for us to actually come and stay.
Right.
We're finding that students are coming and spending an inordinate amount of time there. They're not just dropping in. Sometimes they do just to print something quickly. But a group may be there for 4 or 5 hours. So the things that we're seeing are they want comfortable furniture. They want furniture that they can move and set up in their own arrangement, not the way we would arrange it for them. So we're seeing tables on casters. We're seeing chairs on casters. We purposely don't build walls in our renovations, though, because even though we do extensive user engagement, what a student wants today will be different than what they want 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. So we are trying lots of ways to create defined spaces, but yet open spaces. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, in our East Commons, we have a series of screens that hang off a ceiling grid. We can move them around. Mm-hmm. They create some different zones, but there are no walls built. But it still defines a space for students. What the students have said is that they want to have serendipitous encounters with other people in their classes, someone walking by, a friend. And they also want to be able to be inspired by other students working really hard as well. Mm-hmm. So when they're there at midnight, they won't want to be in an enclosed space by themselves. They want to look around and see other people working really hard on projects as well. Of course, a very important thing now, and it's becoming more ubiquitous, is they need food and drink. Students have said very clearly that you have to build some food and drink space in your facilities. Okay. If I have to leave at 11 o'clock at night to go get a cup of coffee, I'm not coming back to your space. I'll stay at the student center, I'll stay at my dorm, I'll stay at the frat house, no matter how bad the other environment is, so they're not gonna come back. We are just very attuned to what they want. And of course, sometimes you have to discount. You have to run it through a reality filter. Students will say, we want a wall of video screens, or we want gaming terminals. And you have to say, is this what we can do in the library? Is this the space that's most appropriate? Are we competing with another building that's right next door to us? You know, we're very close to the student center, so we're not going to put a bowling alley in the library.
Right.
But we can build certain types of things in. One other thing they mentioned, and of course, this may just be with Georgia Tech, but I imagine it's more universal. Students said, don't go out and buy lots of art. Celebrate the creativity on our own campus. So if you're art department, we don't have an art department at Tech, but we have architecture, we have industrial design, we have freshman classes with projects, poster sessions. We host a number of those in the library in some of our renovated spaces, and one of our deals is we get to hold on to these things for a few weeks afterwards to display it. Mm-hmm. So what we display in our library is reflecting the creativity on campus.
Well, it sounds like collaboration is the order of the day with learning spaces. Could you talk a little bit about how these spaces foster collaboration?
Sure. Our collaboration before was put a big table out, and that was pretty much it. We still have spaces in our library like that. As we renovate spaces now and make them collaborative, we are aware of, first of all, group dynamics. If you have a table for 10 people in the middle of your library, one person will sit down there at some point in the day. No one else will approach that table. It's just our human nature. Mm-hmm. People don't want to sit there, and so you're wasting 9 seats. So one of the things that we're doing to help foster collaboration is smaller tables on wheels. So most of the tables we're buying now are maybe 4-seater tables, but they could push the tables together if they want 6 or 8 people.
Right.
But they can separate them for 3 or 4 people. So that's one thing we're doing. Chairs on casters as well. I mentioned the little screens we have in our East Commons. We're also in our second floor West Commons, which we're renovating right now. We're going with a new product that allows us to just, it creates a power and data grid that we're building in, but everything else is a flexible panel. So we can hang mesh panels, fabric panels, you can have whiteboards hanging in, and we can instantly change those. Mm-hmm. So at 1 minute you have a space for 8 people with a whiteboard completely open. You can hang a mesh panel in between, and all of a sudden you have 2 spaces for 4. In our latest feedback, the students said they really still like having that defined space, but yet that open space. And it's really coming clear that collaboration is incredibly important. Other things that we're doing to help foster that, obviously technology. One of the things is students want power. So how you do that? And one of the neat little things we did in our East Commons to help groups work working together is we have power reels just hanging from the ceiling. Okay. They plug in up on the ceiling. People can pull the power reel down to their table. No trip hazards. Obviously, things like monitor size. You have to be very careful with what students say in a collaborative environment. They say, we're working together. We need bigger and bigger monitors. So we kept buying bigger and bigger monitors, but they weren't satisfied. And so through a number of tests, we actually found out what the dual monitors really work better. When you have a group of students sitting around one terminal, if you're off on the side of an LCD screen, you can't see the screen with a dual monitor. So you kind of run what they're saying and you say what is actually available. But we're finding collaboration is incredibly important at this point. The professors are sending out projects and saying, develop a multimedia project as a group, and that's your project. And so we actually developed a multimedia lab for groups to get together to develop podcasts, video programming, and check out all the software for them to use, the hardware.
Well, how do you take a learning space? It sounds like you've accomplished this quite well. Take a learning space and allow it to be flexible and updatable. Can you talk about updating learning spaces?
Yes.
How you build it with that in mind?
Right. Like I said, we're on our third space, so we've learned a little bit each time. Mm-hmm. But each space has had a little bit a different form of adaptability. With our first space, we had incredibly high ceilings. We put in a raised floor, fairly common. Mm-hmm. We put in a raised floor, all the cabling, the power's underneath, and the furniture hooks into that. So you know, nominally, we can move the furniture, but we haven't moved it that much. But we can certainly move chairs around at those workstations. With the second renovation, we put in this overhead power grid, so we have the power data coming down from that. And with the third space, of course, we're using this, it's a post and beam product from Steelcase, mm-hmm. That we're partnering with on this one. And so we're going to try that one out. So first of all, power, of course, is very important, how you get that. We try to do it as aesthetically as possible, so we try to get rid of the power poles and mm-hmm. the extension cords running across the floor. So how you can address that's incredibly important. As I mentioned, we just don't build walls anymore. Mm-hmm. In our East Commons, we have the screens that hang off of the grid. In the new commons, we're going to have the framework that supports a grid for that. So those are some ways that we build that in, but still allow adaptability. Of course, also we have furniture that's completely mobile. We found, and it's kind of the joke, what's the furniture going to look like every morning when you come into the library? And we'll kind of pull it back to some semblance, but during the day, the students actually, they own that space. And that's actually a credit to us. The students actually own it. They move the furniture around, but we buy furniture, obviously on casters, but with handles. Even the soft seating can move around that way. We have another joke, it's like a Where's Waldo? We have, where are the beanbags? We bought a series of beanbags, and we see where they show up in the library. So the furniture that you have, the power solutions that you can do, the mobile partitions that you can do, and one other mobile partition we're incorporating in the latest renovation is just mobile whiteboards. Whiteboards, they like using those, fairly low tech. They can move them around, and they can move that between a couple tables. Mm-hmm. Instantly, you have two spaces with no wall. And then next year, you still have a flexible box. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you're tied with is pretty much your carpet pattern and what paint color you go with. Everything else is flexible.
So let's talk about the origins of these learning spaces. Who's involved? And what sort of input does the student have? What sort of input does the executive committee have? How does that all come together?
We really extensively engage our users, and in this case, the students, for these spaces. We've done a lot of observations, a lot of surveys. We know that our primary users in our physical facility of the library are primarily undergraduate students. We certainly get some graduate students and faculty, but for the most part, we push their content all to desktop at this point. So very little faculty use. So we primarily engage the students. Incredible focus groups. We had over 30 focus groups for our East Commons alone. We have surveys. We put up low-tech things, flip charts in the space you're going to renovate. What do you want to see in this space? And for the most part, they're pretty clean comments. But, you know, we gather those. We had online message boards this time for the first time. We would gather content. We would post it online. We would send it out on some of our little accounts. We have some Facebook accounts, that type of thing, to different student groups that, hey, check this out. And online blogging. I like this plan because. I don't like this because. And it's a running series of comments that the students had for that. We tried something new for the first time with our 2 West renovation, which was a design charrette. We have enough architects at Georgia Tech, so they said, you need to do this kind of as a final test to collaborate everything that you've heard so far. And we gave the students very large floor plans of the space, little cutouts of what the furniture could be. Mm-hmm. We said, design this exactly as you want to with this type of furniture, and then make extensive margin notes. And as each one of them was leaving, we interviewed them then. What do you mean by this? Tell us about this. So we had some very good validation of what we had already reached at that point. And then one of the very, very last things we did was a furniture showcase. And it sounds kind of silly, but it's actually, the students are going to be sitting in it, not the library's faculty and staff. So the students come and sit on it, and they try it out. They literally stand on the furniture. They act as if they're going to sleep on the sofas. Mm-hmm. And we had them fill out little questionnaires. We allow our library faculty and staff to do this as well. And it's interesting, the spread between what your faculty and staff say and what the students say. And of course, we defer to what the students are saying because that's their space. But it's interesting to see the difference between them. And so we have all these different opportunities. We started engaging our students. We just started our third renovation in May of 2009. And we started talking to our students February last year. So we've over a year of student engagement. And one other way that we make sure that everyone can possibly hear about it, we work very closely with our campus media. So we get this on the front page of the student newspaper. The library's doing renovations. We get it onto our faculty publications. So over a year ago, we were letting people know about this. So they get excited about it. They know things are going to happen. And as we have opportunities, milestones along the way, we put more information out with some quotes from some students or that type of thing. And we also have a student advisory board that kind of helps guide us along to make sure that what we're doing is what proper communication channels for the students. We always wrestle how to get messages to students. And so they're kind of a sounding board for that as well.
Is this an ongoing process even after the learning space is open?
Very much so.
With updates and sort of feedback? How do you deal with feedback?
Exactly. Building the project is one thing, keeping it up to date is another. With each of our first two Commons projects, we put a lot of desktop computers in, and we're on a 3-year refreshment cycle for that. So every 3 years, so like for our West Commons, which is our first project, we've updated it. The first project went in 2002, we've updated in 05 and then 08. And then the East Commons, we're about to do our first equipment update this summer. The way we handle that is, of course, assessment of the spaces after they've opened. And we do fairly extensive surveys online and print. We do student observations. So we observe how students come in and use the different spaces at different times of day. We track how students are voting with their bodies, which spaces of the library they want to use. The latest one, we looked at 4 or 5 times a day. How many students are on each floor? Are they working in groups? Are they working independently? Are they using technology tools like laptops, clustering together in certain zones? And we have a fairly good wealth of data then that validates these floors are what the students find. And it's interesting that students will overlook things like aesthetics for the furniture they want, or they'll overlook certain types of things. The main thing is they want seats that accommodate their group or their individual project. But it's an ongoing assessment program. We don't just update the technology, update other tools. And so we've learned things, putting in walk-up stations. Walk-up stations were first used in our second project, but they were so popular for quick printing, quick email, that we incorporated into our latest renovation of the first project. And all of that kind of builds into what you keep learning. But we don't want the spaces to become stale. It's a continuous, I won't say battle, but it's a continuous project to keep the spaces relevant, up to date, not just build new spaces.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what is some advice you might have for other institutions that are creating new learning spaces?
An important thing is we get a lot of visitors to Georgia Tech, and I know other universities do as well, that have renovated some spaces. And I try to pass along one very important message. The first thing is don't try to copy what we did at Georgia Tech. Look at the ideas, the furniture, how we engaged our users. Then you need to go back and engage your own users. You have your own space that you're going to renovate or build. Your users are going to be unique compared to ours, the majors they have.
There's no ultimate learning space.
There really is not. And even in our space, every space we built is different because we have different types of users. We're engaging them differently. So don't try to copy what we've done or what other schools have done. Don't be afraid to go and talk to your colleagues. It's not embarrassing for anybody. We benchmark against other institutions. I'm not going to mention them here. But we look very closely at some other institutions and how are they engaging their users? What services are they offering? What kind of technology are they incorporating in their spaces? What kind of furniture, other kinds of tools are they making for their flexible spaces? So we certainly benchmark very closely against other schools. I'd say also, we've mentioned it before, build as much flexibility as you can. If group study rooms are what you want, that's fine. That's not appropriate for us at Georgia Tech, and I don't have the luxury of building groups, dedicated group study rooms. I want a place that can be a group study room for the 4 hours a night when the groups are there. It could be individual study. It can be a presentation space. It can be a computer lab. I want the maximum flexibility I can have for the resources that we have. And the final thing I would say is approach it with a sense of humor. Approach it with a sense of experimentation. We've tried each of our projects knowing that a component might not work. But you know what? No one's going to lose their job. We all are going in this to make it the best possible space we can for students. So if something doesn't work, you know, our next iteration, we won't use that again. We can probably switch something out. So just approach it with a very open mind, and also make sure you partner with other people on campus. You can't do everything on your own. And so we've partnered with our campus IT for IT expertise, some of our other units on campus that have engaged students for student success. They can be very helpful with you as well. Our measure, ultimate measure of success, it's hard to say how successful a library is. How do you contribute to retention? Mm-hmm. How do you contribute to student success? It's a very crude measure, but certainly the gate count is one way we can look at how popular our building is. Our enrollment hasn't really gone up that much at Georgia Tech in the last few years, but when we opened our West Commons, our gate count was about 60%. Then it started to level off and drop down a little bit. When we opened East Commons, it doubled over our original gate count. Oh. The last couple of years, it started to slip just a little bit. So with the new renovation, we know it's going to push it again. That's a very crude measure, but students are voting with their feet. Mm-hmm. And so we know our spaces are fairly successful, and of course we're getting the feedback as well. Keep an open mind, make it flexible, and most importantly, engage your users.
Well, that's great. Bob Fox from Georgia Institute of Technology, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
And I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for joining us.